energy. And the whole thing is based on science and what science tells us we need to do to cut emissions. It's a wicked good law. Groups in Massachusetts, including UCS and environmental justice organizations, have been working for over 2 years to get this legislation passed. So this is a huge collaborative victory for the people of Massachusetts, our environment, racial equity, and for science. In fact, it's such good news, I think I'm going to head down to the Packy, grab a sixer of Sam, and have a little party. I'm Cynthia DiRocco, and this has been Science for the Win.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Got Science podcast. Got Science is made possible by the 125,000 members of UCS, and especially our Partners for the Earth, the 13,000 supporters who make monthly contributions to help us stand up for science. Learn more at ucsusa.org/partners. Special thanks to Kathy Mulvey. Science for the Win was brought to you by Cynthia DiRocco. Editing and music by Brian Middleton. Additional editing by Omari Spears. Research and writing by Pamela Wirth. Our executive producer is Rich Hayes, and I'm your host, Colleen McDonald. Come chat with us on Twitter at GotScienceUCS. Thanks. Stay safe, wear your masks, get a vaccine, and see you next time.
You're listening to KBOO.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio would like to thank Kurt, Nicholas, Jeffrey, and Jason for donating to our spring membership drive today. For these generous supporters, join these generous supporters and help us reach our $60,000 fundraising goal by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. Now stay tuned for Fight the Empire.
Well, good morning. This is Bear Fogring with Fight the Empire. Back when I was a college student, I spent a summer working at a gold mine in Alaska. Dome Creek is about 20 miles north of Fairbanks. It has a pretty landscape, nothing spectacular. A lot of rolling flat land and hillsides, creeks and trees. Then the mining company destroyed it. The company was called Fairbanks Exploration, known as FE for short. Some said the FE stood for something I can't say on the air. The first thing FE did was to put in a pipeline to bring in water. Then came the water cannon. It could shoot a heavy stream of water 200 feet. The water cannon was balanced so the operator could aim it with one hand. He'd shoot the stream at trees and big rocks and send them flying. He'd blast away at the humps and hillocks until the ground was fairly flat. But if you ever let go, the cannon would start to spin, and a stream could tear your body apart. Next came the point drills. They were medium-sized pile drivers that pounded one-inch pipe into the ground with water running through. This would melt the permafrost and turn it into mud. That was my job, watching 3 point drivers and adding 10-foot lengths of pipe, then moving the machine on to the next stop. With a dozen driver crews working their rigs, after a while the entire field was turned to mud, a huge lake of mud about 80 feet deep. Then the mining company moved in the dredge. It was big as a 3-story building. It scooped up the mud and washed out the gold dust. At the end of the process were trays with cups of gold mixed with mercury, and behind the dredge, a mountain of mud. We might ask, is the gold more valuable than the land that was destroyed? FE and its investors would say yes. With their profits, they buy mansions, cars, yachts, and politicians. The rest of us might buy jewelry to symbolize the love we feel for our partners. But we are caught in an extractive economy. The land can be prettied up, but it's forever changed. It's the same with other minerals. We take them from the earth and keep on taking. A recent report by the Circle Economy think tank states that the global economy has used up four times as many materials as it did in 1970. The report found that 100 tons of materials are consumed in 2017, the latest year for which data is available. Half the total is sand, clay, gravel, and cement used for building, along with other materials quarried to produce fertilizer. Coal, oil, and gas make up 15%, and metal ores 10%. The final quarter are the plants and trees used for food and fuel. The lion's share of the materials, 40%, is turned into housing. Other major categories include food, transport, healthcare, communications, and consumer goods such as clothes and furniture. Almost a third of the annual materials remain in use after a year, such as buildings and vehicles. But 15% is emitted into the atmosphere as climate heating gases, and nearly a quarter is discarded in the environment, such as plastic in waterways and oceans. A third of the materials is treated as waste, mostly going to landfill and mining spoil heaps. Just 8.6% is recycled. Go far enough in the future and all the minerals are gone. Humanity was given a one-time gift to use wisely or to waste. Some visionaries think the human species can leave planet Earth and colonize Mars. Others might ask why anyone in their right mind would want to leave a lovely world and settle in a cold and lifeless planet. Actually, Mars looks like the Earth might look after the destroyers are done with it. This is Fight the Empire being brought to you on KBOO. And we are always looking for new members. Give us a call on KBOO 503-231-8187. Or give us a call on this show. Give us your comment or if you have a comment or a question. Now back to the show. So what is a circular economy? It's an economic system aimed at eliminating waste and the continual use of resources. Circular systems employ reuse, sharing, repair, refurbishment, remanufacturing, and recycling to create a closed-loop system in minimizing the use of resource inputs and the creation of waste, pollution, and carbon emissions. The circular economy aims to keep products in use for longer, thus improving the productivity of these resources. Waste materials and energy should become input for other processes, either a component or a recovered resource. This regenerative approach is in contrast to the traditional linear economy, which has a take, make, dispose model of production. So that's what a circular economy should look like. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call, 503-231-8187. We live in a world where the only input is sunshine. It makes plants grow, and the plants feed a host of animals, including us. Over millions of years, some of the plants have turned to oil, which we are using up. We can feed on the plants and animals, and eventually some will feed on us. We can build with wood, perhaps bamboo. A circular economy would have no more glassed-in towers with artificial interior climates. So this report speaks for all government, says Carolina Schmidt. Chile's environmental minister. We need to deploy all the policies to really catalyze this transformation to a circular economy. Christian Close of the Environment Conservation Group World Wildlife Federation said, the circular economy provides a framework for reducing our impacts, protecting ecosystems and living within the means of one planet. The report said increased recycling can make economies more competitive, improve living conditions, and help to meet emissions targets and avoid deforestation. It reported that 13 European countries have adopted circular economy roadmaps, including France, Germany, Spain, and that Colombia became the first Latin American country to launch a similar policy in 2019. China's ban on waste imports aims to encourage domestic recycling, the report said, but has also stimulated the development of circular economy strategies in Australia and other countries which previously exported their waste to China. So right now, it seems to me, our economy is kind of, we're at a crossroads. We can continue with an extractive economy in which we keep taking resources from the earth, or we can move to some kind of a regenerative circular economy that puts back, that doesn't waste resources, where everything that is used evolves into something else that becomes part of the part of our economic endowment. This is what a circular economy would do. So if you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 503-231-8187. I would love to hear from you. Also, I don't know if anybody heard President Biden's speech last night. I've been hearing about it. Apparently, the economy is growing. We might ask, in what way is it growing? Is it growing in a sustainable way, or is it growing in an extractive way that will just lead to more trouble in the future? So that is sort of the crossroads we are at right now. The program you're listening to is Fight the Empire. My name is Per Fogren, and we are broadcast to you on KBOO. This is your radio station. You sustain it. You keep us on the air. You provide us, you give us the station that takes your views and allows you the opportunity to broadcast your views to the audience at large. We depend for our resources on you, the listener. We are all in this station together. So give us a call, 503-231-8187. Well, now that Joe Biden is president, Donald Trump has been largely forgotten for good reason, kind of like a bad dream. But we might wonder, where is President Biden going to go now? He has outlined a very ambitious economic program, and which at least at first hearing, it seems very very progressive and sort of what this country needs. On the other hand, we keep hearing of moves. Apparently, President Biden has not given up on Ukraine, and this is becoming a kind of a sore point in our relations with Russia, and what it could possibly lead to. When recently, Russia, in response to NATO and Western moves in Ukraine, put its troops on its side of the border, which was construed as some kind of an aggressive move, although they were within their borders. But then apparently cooler heads prevailed. President Biden talked to President Putin, and apparently the issue was resolved, at least for now, and the Russian troops withdrew. But this is a continuing sore point, and it's sort of one never knows when it will when it might erupt again. One never knows when kind of people working behind the scenes might want it to erupt. It is sort of an explosion waiting to happen.
Robbie's on the line.
Yes, we have a caller on the line. Robbie, I believe. Good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I was listening and I wanted to point out, I see a lot of talk coming out of this administration and the follow-through is a lot less than what is expected. For instance, saying that there's going to be $2,000 stimulus checks as soon as he gets into office, and then it gets negotiated down by a completely Democrat, they don't even need Republican votes to pass it, but they negotiated it down to $1,400. And the war in Yemen, they said they were going to stop the offensive measures in Yemen, and they're still, I just read a thing this morning, the CIA is still servicing and supporting all Saudi Arabian-led airstrikes against Yemenis, so they haven't done anything like that. And all I'm seeing is a lot of, and here's to the other point, they're talking now that they're going to pass this very ambitious tax plan for, capital gains tax and all this stuff, and again, it's all really good on surface, right? But at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to be doing it. I don't think it's going to be enough. And I think what they're doing with this capital gains tax is they're basically going after the slightly more rich and not the very, very rich, which is what my speculation is, considering what they've done with Yemen, the stimulus check. They're failing to deliver on their promises. And so I feel this tax plan is just kind of more hype, and it's not going to be going after the ultra rich. It's just going to be making the Republicans who, have a little bit of money get more upset. And I'm not trying to, I'm just watching how they're doing this, where they're upsetting the right base by, implementing these taxes. And as me, where I'm standing, I don't think they're going after the right people. I think they're going to be, Nancy Pelosi's still going to be day trading with all the IPOs and the credit stuff. Congress is not exempt from insider trading. They've enacted this law, and there's been no politicians who've been found guilty of it. So I just don't think that the Biden's going to deliver.
Well, yeah, it was, it's a very ambitious program that Biden has laid out, and to pay for it, he does want to tax the rich and the super rich, which in itself is a good idea. But I haven't seen anybody comment on the fact that we have this huge military budget, something like $740 billion or more. And
which they increased.
Oh, they've increased it. Well, it's getting, when you add in all the extras, I think the total bill comes to about $1 trillion a year that's spent on preparing for war. And, That money could do a lot without raising anybody's taxes. I think the taxes on the ultra rich should be raised just out of fairness. But we might think about our priorities when we spend this much on the military and so many things on the civilian side are begging for funds. Almost every day you read in the papers that this or that program is needs more money, or schools need more money, and whatever. And here is this big, huge pot at the Pentagon, which nobody talks about tapping. I don't know. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I read this article just the other day. I don't know how true it stands because of the lack of data with our homeless populations and our neighbors around that don't have housing. But there's aircraft, one aircraft carrier, the cost of one aircraft carrier could supposedly end homelessness in America. And so to put that in, you put that into perspective, and it's like, well, you know, what is the Army protecting us from? You know,
Okay, there?
Yeah. I was just saying, what is the Army protecting us from if, you know, they're getting an aircraft carrier to protect us, but yet there's nobody even, you know, the quality of life here is, you know, not even worth protecting.
Well, for a lot of people, that's true. I mean, you know, our economy is supposedly booming. You know, according to some figures, it's booming for some folks anyway. But you see all these tents on the streets, and, you know, how can that be on this on a flourishing economy?
Yeah, and if I could make one last point, I really enjoyed the topic and the conversation. I love KBOO. Everybody should be a member. I wanted to bring up, though, I think the worst part about Donald Trump, the worst thing that I viewed from my perspective of Donald Trump, is how the propaganda has effectively turned Democrats and liberals into supporting George Bush. When George W. Bush left office in 2008 or wherever, he left with a 10% or 11% approval rating. Now it's upwards of 70% to 80%. And so this is how effective propaganda is in America, because I don't see how, because we had Donald Trump, people's opinions of George Bush has been, you know, heightened. Now people think that George Bush is a better president because we had Donald Trump, which is a very, you know, it's a weird thing that I've been thinking about. Is this the American propaganda which made all the Democrats love John McCain because he had beef with Donald Trump?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's something I just wanted to point out.
Well, I'd say Donald Trump has certainly lowered the standards. I mean, after Donald Trump, almost anybody looks good.
True. It's a lot of people fail to remember that he was a Democrat up until the year 2010, and was also for universal health care and was pro-abortion. It's weird how.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, Donald Trump was a Democrat. He was pro-abortion. He was for universal health care. He also endorsed Hillary Clinton to run in the year 2011 for the year 2016. A lot of weird stuff. But when you look at the connections of these people that have all that money, I think the world turns into a little bit of their stage where they get to, you know. Anyway, just wanted to put out that stuff.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. Some race of very interesting comments. If anybody else has a question or a comment, the number is 503-231-8187. We've been talking about the what is a circular economy. Right now, our economy seems to be, it may be thriving, but it's thriving on extracting resources. And once these resources are extracted, they are gone. They're like a one-time use. It's like the human species came on Earth with this, this kind of a bank account. You might call it a bank account of minerals in the ground and various resources. And they can be extracted and they can be used. They can be reused and recycled up to a certain point, but after some point, what happens? Is this just a one shot? What happens in the distant, in the far distant future? We could see a future where the humanity that still survives are living with the memories of this this one time shot at greatness, which where we used up the resources, and now that they are gone, the human species is back to a sort of basically a plant based economy. That's the only, when you think about it, the only input in a circular economy is sunshine. And the sunshine, it makes plants grow, and plants feed a lot of animals, including us. And that is it. What would our economy look like when we depend for our survival on plants? You know, the industrial age may be kind of like a memory for people who are basically living on the land, growing their food, and sort of an agricultural economy, the sort of more or less the way it was before the industrial age. It could be that the industrial age, you could say began about 200 years ago, and maybe coming to an end, and that we're kind of back where we started, and we're just this kind of memory of what things were like for a brief moment in human history. I mean, human history is more than just a couple of centuries. Human history has been, we've been living it now for many, many thousands of years, and it's only fairly recently that the human species has sort of recorded, has become self-aware and recorded its history, and created an industrial economy kind of out of a one-time bounty from nature. And so there we are. What will replace it when these resources are used up? So we have about 5 minutes left in this show. If anybody has a question or a comment, give us a call, 503-231-8187. I don't see too much recognition of this long-term trend in human history from the politicians. You know, they are usually focused on maneuvering for the next election, which, after that, then once they're in office, they enact some sort of a program which usually doesn't go far enough in resolving our problems, but it keeps them occupied, it keeps them busy, and it keeps people's minds focused sort of on the minutiae of daily life, one year after another, and not too much thought is given to what lies ahead when the resources are gone. They can only be recycled and reused so many times, and then you either evolve. Maybe there's some way we can create new resources out of the materials we have at hand, or else we kind of fall back into the old...
Dennis is on the line.
Somebody's on the line. Good morning, sir.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, this is Dennis. Perry, your opening essay of working for the mine was really well done, and I got all the visuals and a great intro into your... into your show. I watched a little bit of the speech last night, and there were two things that I heard that I wanted to comment on. One was Biden was talking about the power grid and the susceptibility of it, as we saw in Texas, and so he's going to build that up to be quite robust. And I think what needs to happen is it needs to be decentralized into more microgrids and so forth around. That was one comment. The other comment was he's talking about the immigrants and why there's so many immigrants, and he was talking about looking back into the reasons, but he never mentioned about our disruption of the governments in the Central American countries that are still leading to these problems, and that's just in the short amount of time what I wanted to say.
Well, I think you make some very good points. You know, at one time, you know, like these countries in Central America, they had thriving economies, they had decent governments, and a lot of them, the U.S. helped overthrow some of these governments, and now we are stuck with the results where economies have collapsed, and people left without any resources. So they are coming to the only place they know of that still has some kind of opportunity for them, namely the United States, which kind of created a situation in the first place. It's kind of like a circular thing going on. It's not a circular economy. It's sort of a circular dystopia, I guess.
We have one last caller.
One last caller. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to add, when you were talking about, gentleman was on there talking about Afghanistan, which is true, President Biden said take out the troops, our troops, but he didn't mention anything about the contractors
that
are going to be in there. Many, mm-hmm. many, many more contractors than troops,
mm-hmm.
and doing the same darn thing, you know? So I just, I have such a hard time trusting much about Biden myself. We're old Bernie people, and but anyway, Bernie's working hard with him.
Hope so. Yeah. Well, hope we see more of him. Anyway, you made some very good points. Too bad they're coming in the last minute of our show time.
Okay.
But thank you very much.
I love your program, by the way. You're very it's really informational, and that's why we give you donations.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, the place to call for giving donations. 503-231-8187, or go online to the KBOO webpage, and I think you will see a little button that says donate.